We're catching up with the CEO of the Dignity Freedom Network. Hello, Kate. How are you going today?
Great. Thanks, Fiona. And you?
I'm going fine, although I've been reading some disturbing reports about the situation going on in India and the COVID-19. And I understand that you have a lot of people on the ground in India who are trying to make a difference over there. Can you paint a picture for us? Because they've got so many people. I can't even imagine how they could, you know, even do the whole social distancing thing.
That's correct, Fiona. I mean, with a population of 1.3 billion, it is just so different to here in Australia. And I just think that we don't realise how absolutely blessed we are here. But in India, it's becoming an absolute crisis, and the stories we're hearing are just heartrending.
Because, I mean, yes, we know they went into total lockdown and what have you. But, I mean, that really, because they have sort of classes of people and different socioeconomic groups over there, but there are so many poor, I mean, dirt poor people. They haven't got a house to lock themselves away in. So what do they do?
That's correct. And so, Fiona, for us with lockdown, we had a few days' notice and we did the whole panic buying with the toilet paper and all. But in India, they had 4 hours' notice. Now, most of the people we work with, those who fall outside the caste system, the Dalits or previously known as untouchables, they're daily wage earners. And so they had no capacity to go and panic buy anything. They had no notice. And so when lockdown happened, they are stuck in their homes. They don't have access to food. They barely have access to water. Usually they use the village well or something like that. And so lockdown for them is just so extraordinarily difficult. And then, of course, it's densely packed. And so it's a huge breeding ground for coronavirus to really take off.
And I guess if somebody does catch it and passes it to their family, it's not like as if the healthcare system over there is going to be able to cope with it all.
Totally. And the rate of testing is so low. And so many people have COVID-19 symptoms, but because they don't get tested, they actually stay with their families. And by the time they get really sick and somebody identifies that it's serious, all of their family, extended family and other people living in the slums around them have already been exposed to the virus. So, and the rates in India that we're hearing about are relatively low. And that's mainly due to the low testing. So many people are dying, but they're not being identified as dying of COVID-19.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's going to be a whole bunch worse than they know because they just, well, they haven't been tested for it. And so, oh, well, we can't add that to the figures and they probably don't want to add it to the figures. But this is going to be horrendous. Is there scope for them to start more testing or is it a case of just not having the kits?
Well, it's all of that. But then the other fear is the question of how many people are going to die of starvation. And so there's a huge fear in the slums and many of the remote villages that actually COVID-19 is something, but what about starvation? And they just don't have the food. And so it's just a time of fear. There's so much misinformation. There's lack of healthcare. There's just inadequate help for these people. So we're just hearing tragic, tragic stories from our people on the ground.
Oh, dear. And how is it for your people? I mean, have they got PPE gear? Are they able to protect themselves?
Well, we're raising funds for more gear for them and for more testing and for more resources for them, medicines and so on. We have clinics across India and we have community health workers that are in the most remote areas. But we pray daily for the protection of our staff as they're bravely going into the villages, wanting to make a difference and bring some form of help and hope to these people.
Is there any sense of how long this is going to continue?
Well, lockdown has just been increased again. And so for these daily wage earners, that's just another death knell for them of how long can we possibly cope without earning money and providing food for our families, as I say, let alone confronting COVID-19. And the numbers are still rising. You know, in many parts of Europe and even here, we're seeing the numbers decline. We're seeing a flattening of the curve, and that's just so great. In India, that's just not happening. And as I mentioned, take into account that many, many of the cases aren't even being identified.
And do they have any idea of what kind of projections, what kind of figures of people are going to succumb to this?
They really don't know because of lack of testing. And so one fellow who's Dr. Jacob John, who was formerly the head of the Indian Council for Medical Research Centre in research and virology, he stated that India was staring at an avalanche of cases, that as every week passes, the avalanche is just growing bigger and bigger. But nobody's putting a number on it yet.
Because they have half a billion people who live well below the poverty line, and they're just not going to have a way of testing or finding out. And if someone dies of starvation because they were locked up in lockdown, how they're not going to count that as a COVID case, are they?
Absolutely. That's completely correct. And so for us, we're also dealing with the collateral damage of COVID-19, collateral damage of the lockdown. So there's the COVID-19 itself, and then there's the collateral damage that comes alongside that.
So, Kate, what are you guys doing tangibly to try and help these people?
Right, so we've been working in India for over 50 years, so and mainly amongst the Dalit people, and so we are trusted in the villages. Our team are locals. They speak local language. The first focus is prevention, so all the prevention techniques and training of hand washing and all of that kind of thing, debunking the myths. We've also got a huge food distribution program and providing nutritional supplements to people. So the government has actually got a rice distribution in place, which is great, and it is helping in to some degree. But we also provide nutritional supplements for these people so that they get some protein and some vitamins and other nutrition. And then there's our healthcare side as well. So going into these villages and testing people as we can and providing medical care as we can. We've just launched or upgraded, boosted our telemedicine and telecounseling capabilities as well, so we can multiply the effectiveness of the work across India.
Okay, Kate, if people want to find out more about what you guys are doing, where can they go?
They can jump on our website, Dignity Freedom Network Australia. They can look at our Facebook page. They can email us. They can call us on 1-800-949-774.
Hey, Kate, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks, Fiona.